Andrea.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good, I'm good. I'm sorry, I cannot figure that out for some reason. I thought it was my notification.
Okay, well, all's well that ends well.
Yeah, I was like, oh no. What's up? That's why I clicked into the app, because I was like, that's weird, I'm not getting anything. So I don't know what happened. Sorry about that.
No worries. No worries. So hey, if you have any questions, happy to answer them. Otherwise, we can just roll right into things.
No, I think I'm good.
Okay, good. So let's start, excuse me, with your year of graduation and your major. Also, if you graduate like spring or fall.
So I graduated in 2007. Mm-hmm. Technically, I walked in the spring, but technically I didn't really graduate until that following fall.
Gotcha.
Because I was a double major. I did music business and I did songwriting.
Oh, very nice. Hey, do you recall music business has multiple tracks that you would typically choose one? Like there would be management track, entrepreneur track, there were some others.
I did the management track.
Cool. And what was your principal instrument?
It was voice.
Nice. That's always an easy one to move with you, right?
Yeah, I play guitar too, but voice is my principal instrument. But guitar is pretty light too.
Very good. Okay, yeah, better than doing like stand-up bass and drums.
Yeah, my husband's a drummer, so he had to do that.
Okay, so we will get to your history later. But for now, tell us about your current job. What do you do? Where do you do it?
So I currently am a digital content marketing manager at Subway, so like Subway restaurants. And it's the headquarters is in Milford, Connecticut.
Gotcha. You said digital content marketing manager?
Yeah, so mainly how our team is split is we have half is digital and half is social. I actually sit on the social side of it. So my
social media like Facebook.
Yep, like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, mm-hmm. all that stuff. So I oversee the creative for all those platforms for general market and Hispanic market.
Yeah, you said both general and Hispanic. What other markets are there?
Well, those are the two we focus on.
I was just curious, is there anything, like, is there another marketing manager who... Or I say social media marketing manager who has other spheres?
Well, we have people that focus on international. So, yes, there are other markets. They're international markets. But that's kind of a different team. This is I'm geared more towards, like, North America.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yep. So, yeah, there are other markets, but the other markets are, you know, spread across the world since it's a global company.
Gotcha. How many folks are on your team?
It's actually very nimble. So my team, it's just me and my boss that oversee social. I do have another person that does do the Hispanic work. So it's not too many of us. And then we report into the director that oversees both social and digital.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So is this, could I just ask, like, is this a tech, any sort of a technical position, or is it, I mean, obviously you're working with a computer,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I've spoken with technical marketing people who really know a lot of computer code, are doing all the sort of automation stuff, and then I've spoke with people where it's much more, you know, a conceptual thing, and the technology is just kind of where it goes out.
Yeah, my role is more on the creative side. Mm-hmm. So I don't do too much technical stuff besides, you know, knowing the specs for the different platforms to make sure that when we're exporting files and getting files in from our agencies that they are, you know, to spec for the platforms. So it doesn't get too much more technical than that. It's more of a creative role.
Gotcha. Understood. So, hey, could you take us, like, through your typical day, or if the days vary too much, your typical week?
Sure. It's definitely different by the week, by the month. It kind of depends what's going on. But we work with a lot of agencies that do our creative. So I'm in touch. I usually, you know, get in and I'll be in touch with our various agencies to kind of see the status of all of our projects. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have to set up some meetings with internal leadership in order to get approval on some content. If there's a video or photo shoot that's happening for social, I'm the person that attends for my team to make sure that everything is, you know, shot the way that we wanted it shot. And if there are any immediate questions on set, I'm the person, you know, so they can get a response right away and don't have to wait for back and forth. So it kind of depends on the day, but most of the time I'm just making sure that things are moving along and that also the content that's being created is, you know, right for the brand and all of our, you know, there's all these little things that you have to make sure are done properly and that they're legal for us to say. So kind of checking all those boxes to make sure that it's appropriate for the brand and our message, you know, isn't getting clouded by all other creative.
Sure. Hey, next question. Let's say I'm asking you this to you in the context of me being a non-musician who somehow ended up at Berklee.
Okay.
So, like, you're at Subway. Like, were you kind of much of a food person or chef, or was that, like, a big focus of yours before this job? You know what I mean? Like, were you a marketing person who just happened to end up there, or were you more like a food person who ended up in marketing?
No, I was definitely not a food person. I mean, I personally love food, but not in that way. I just love to eat it. So... I kind of ended up at Subway for a couple of different reasons. I was living in the city, then moved to Connecticut, for my husband's job. And then the commute was kind of getting a little too crazy for me going back and forth from Connecticut to the city. So
the city
I ended
being
up
New York.
Right. The city, sorry, being New York. So I was just looking for other roles within marketing, and Subway happened to have a role, and I was already working within social at my role before that. So it kind of just like all the stars aligned, and it's 25 minutes from where I work and it's from where I live. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a good role. It paid well. So I, you know, kind of jumped on that opportunity.
Oh, makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
And could I ask, like, you mentioned different campaigns that you run. Like, let's say, how many different campaigns are you juggling at any one moment, and how long do they typically go?
So right now I'm working on, we're finishing up one. We start one next week, and then I'm working on the one after that. So right now I'm pretty much juggling three different ones, but they're for two different markets, so technically six.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so it gets a little bit complicated, but they're all at different stages within, you know, our process. So it makes it a little bit easier where you can kind of prioritize which one it, you know, needs the most attention.
Gotcha. So you said you're at Subway corporate headquarters. Do you have a general idea as to about how many people are there at corporate headquarters?
I think there's like 900. There's a couple different buildings. There's about four buildings on our campus. So I believe it's close to 900 that are at the headquarters.
Gotcha. Because I'm sure when most people think Subway, they think, you know, the small restaurants that might have half a dozen people there at a certain moment. We often don't think that there are large corporate headquarters behind each of these.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a large amount of people.
Sure. And hey, I'm sure it varies, but on average, about how many hours a week do you work?
I work from 8:30 to 5 Monday through Friday. So
pretty standard 40.
Yeah, pretty standard.
And, hey, to qualify for these interviews, well, one of the criteria you have to meet is that you enjoy what you do, your field at least, and ideally your job. So, hey, I'd love if you could articulate for us, what is it about your work that you enjoy?
I really love working with creative, and this is, you know, my last role was kind of what introduced me into this world of marketing. Mm-hmm. But I see a lot of similarities with music and other, you know, creative disciplines. So I love just being able to throw ideas out and seeing them come to life and, you know, producing work that, you know, starts from nothing and then into something. And then all of a sudden it's live, you know, for a bunch of people to see online. So I definitely love that creative part, not so much into, you know, some of the other planning that goes into it, but definitely love that side of the business and what I do.
Very nice. Okay. Hey, let's take it back to 2007, or if you wish, earlier. And, I mean, I'm guessing you weren't thinking online marketing manager at large.
No, yeah. I was not.
So, I love you, sort of, if you could put us in your headspace at the time, and then kind of both, like, we'll follow both kind of what you were doing and what you were thinking the whole way up, one step at a time from there to where you are now.
Okay. I've definitely had some odd jobs, so I'll try my best to condense this for you.
It's all good. Take all the time you want. This should be very entertaining then.
Okay. So I graduated in 2007. I moved to New York. And like I said, I technically finished all of my credits that fall. So I moved to New York and I interned at ASCAP.
Right, music business program has that internship, which usually you're doing at the very end.
Yes, so my internship was with ASCAP.
Cool.
And my kind of dream at that time was, I actually initially wanted to intern for a publishing company. I thought, all right, I'm going to intern for this publishing company. I'm going to get in there. I'm going to become a staff writer, and I'm going to be a songwriter like for the rest of my life, basically was what my plan was. So I interned at ASCAP, worked for a great, great guy, but my role there, I wasn't exactly, you know, happy with it. And sitting behind a desk, which is what I sit behind a desk a lot now, but at the time I kind of thought, oh, I don't know if I can do this. This is, you know, not really me. And I wasn't really feeling that role. So
that's a music business internship, right? It's a business type job.
Right, right. But we did do a couple events there, and I really loved that. So I loved that part of it when we did do a couple. We did some events. It wasn't Save the Music because that's not their company, but it was something of the sort where we did, you know, a large event. We had a lot of people come and play, and I liked that part of it. And I also was working at two bars at the time to make money, living in New York and trying to pay rent. And at one of the bars that I worked at, it ended up that a guy that went to the bar all the time became friends with a friend of mine that worked there. He was starting a new business, and it was a production design company, so kind of putting on all different types of events for advertising agencies and ad award shows. So after I finished at ASCAP, I got presented with that opportunity, and I thought, well, that was the part of ASCAP that I really liked, so I kind of jumped on board there.
You said he was starting a company?
Yeah, at the time he was starting a company. It was a very, very small company,
uh-huh.
But we did really big award shows.
Cool.
And
he's
so,
just like, hey, work with me, and you're like, sounds good.
Yeah. It was a friend that I grew up with that ended up getting me that job because we worked at one of the bars together, and, you know, she had become friends with him. So yeah, he was like, do you want to come work for me? And I was like, sure, why not? You know, I'm looking for something. And that was really my first exposure to all the different types of creative.
And was that kind of a music industry thing, or was that pretty much all just like events for everybody?
It was not music industry. It was much more, he worked a lot with advertising agencies. I did get to do some stuff with music, but it was more like, you know, I chose the walk on and off music for the award shows, or he had me, sorry, my dog's barking.
It's all good.
Or, you know, he also had me, you know, picks the music for cocktail hour or something like that. You know, it was very minor music related, but he definitely tried to work it in when he could, because he knew that that was an interest of mine.
Sure. Could I just ask, like what you were thinking, kind of taking a, you know, there you are just finishing Berklee and then sort of going for a job outside the music industry. I mean, kind of just were you thinking, like, was that basically you were just like, hey, this looks great, let's go for it? Or were there any, you know, thoughts about when you were leaving music as a career, or at least temporarily?
No, at the time, actually, my schedule with the company was, because it was small, it was very, very flexible. So I was still playing out. I was still playing music at the time and booking gigs and stuff. So I felt like I wasn't really giving up music.
Sure.
Because it allowed me to still do all of that and make, you know, a decent living. Mm-hmm. So I didn't, at that point, I didn't really feel like I was giving up music because of the flexibility.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So you're working for this company. How long did you work for them?
It was probably a year and a half or 2 years.
Right, so we're into, like, 2009.
Yeah, I think so.
And so, yeah, did your role change while you were there? Was it pretty much straightforward? You were helping put on these events.
Yeah, it was pretty much the same. Because it was so small, I did a lot of stuff, but it was a great learning experience because I had to do a lot that if I was at a bigger company, they would have never allowed me to do all of that. So I got a lot of learning. A lot of great, you know, education from that.
Sure. Then let's see, 2009, ugly year economically, but let's hear what was happening for you.
So, that company that I worked for that was really great, I could kind of tell that this might be ending pretty soon because it is so small and, you know, the money wasn't, I did a lot of the invoicing and stuff, and the money wasn't really coming in, and, you know, I could tell that I should maybe try to find some other opportunities. Sure. Then I kind of also wanted to focus a little bit on my music because I felt like I'm kind of, like, you know, giving up a little bit. So I quit that job, and I started actually nannying so I could play out a little bit more, and also just so I could have some stability because I could tell that that company was kind of going to be ending soon.
My impression, you don't have to talk about, you know, what my impression is then that this is one of those first jobs that you learn a lot but doesn't pay all that well.
Yeah, it didn't pay badly. It just was at the end of it, it wasn't always paying on time. So that's why I was like, ooh, I should probably move on. You know, I still had rent to pay, and every paycheck, you know, every penny really counted, so I kind of needed to find something else.
Of course. So how did you get into the nannying?
So at the other bar that I worked at, because I was still working at bars at the time too, mm-hmm. The cocktail waitress thing, sure. One of the bartenders needed a nanny, so he, you know, kind of threw it out there, and I was like, yeah, because I need to leave this other job. So then I started to nanny for his family.
Sure. So you're doing that. You're still doing some music, it sounds like.
Yep. So I did that. I nannied for them for about like 2 years. And during that time, I was like, I really, you know, I had this whole vision that I would be playing out a bunch, but I got so tired. I have to be there, you know, so early, and then watching kids all day, you know, you kind of get tired. So it wasn't playing out as much as I had thought that I would be. Then I started to get into, while I was still nannying, I started getting into booking for a couple different venues in the city. So while the baby was taking a nap, I was booking bands for different shows.
This is just through all your various music activities, you got to know these venues?
One of them was one of the bars that I worked at. Uh-huh. I just asked them, you know, can I start booking some music? And they said that was fine. Another one was just a bar that I had seen something online, went in and interviewed, and they, you know, needed somebody, so they hired me.
Gotcha. So some nannying, some part-time jobs, still in music?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so then my same friend that got me by that initial job at the production design company, she contacted me and was like, you know, you really should maybe connect with a recruiter to get a role somewhere else, because she had just worked with this recruiter and had gotten a job. So I contacted them and took on a temp position at an ad agency. I was still nannying. I just took off for the week of the, you know, the temp position. But that was, you know, kind of just to get my feet wet in doing something else. But that was very short-lived. You know, it was only like a week long. And then after that, the same friend contacted me about a couple months later. At the time, she was then at Victoria's Secret, and they were hiring there as well. So she said, I really think you should come in and interview here. And I thought, oh, man, I'm really, like, selling out if I go and interview there. You know,
sorry,
like,
Victoria's interview for just, like, a Salesforce job? Or
No, it was Victoria's Secret corporate. So their corporate offices in New York. It was for a production coordinator role.
Okay. So similar to what you'd been doing.
Similar with different. It was a little bit different. Still working with creative, but definitely in a different capacity. So I was like, you know, a temp position is one thing, but this is like a real role, like, you know, like 9 to 5. Like, this is a little crazy. So I thought, let me go and interview there. And they offered me the job. So it worked out that the people I was nannying for were moving to Vermont anyway. So I took on the job at Victoria's Secret, and that I feel like was the turning point of me thinking, like, okay, I might not be in music forever, and kind of like coming to terms with there are other opportunities out there that I could take advantage of.
Gotcha. Because you took the job and presumably you liked it.
Yeah, at first I would say it was a little rocky until I found my footing. I was not that I was making copies, but it was a very like entry level job.
Sure.
Until I found my own and really, you know, connected. I became really close with the VP of photography there and was able to kind of carve out my own little paths. Mm-hmm. And once I did that, I was like, oh, I really like this. You know, I was involved with creative. I was involved with video. I was able to incorporate music at my role there. So I felt like that's something I really could do, and I felt like I was good at it too. So,
cool. And we're in like 2011 at this point.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Sure. So, as you were saying, you were really finding your footing, and the job had turned into something you liked.
Yeah, I kind of just found little holes where they needed stuff, and if it was something I was interested in, I really jumped on that. And luckily, you know, it was welcomed that I was jumping on those opportunities. So I really was able to make my role my own.
That's which, great. And it's also great that, let's say, you stuck it out during those first weeks when that hadn't happened yet.
Yeah, I kind of was like, well, it's a paycheck. So, you know. But, yeah, I would say that was probably for the first year or so where I was not really sure, but kind of just going to work and then finally, I found that footing.
Understood. So then, how long were you at Victoria's Secret?
I was actually there for 5 years.
So was that until your husband got the job in Connecticut?
He was actually commuting to Connecticut from Brooklyn, and then we decided to move here. I commuted for a year, though, from Norwalk, Connecticut, to the city, to New York.
Gotcha.
But it kind of wears on you after a while, so that's when I started to look at their opportunities.
Understood. So you said you started looking, and then you just found the job listing at Subway?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I had applied in December, and I didn't get a call from them until maybe April or March. And I had forgotten I had even applied because I was kind of applying all over Connecticut to try to find something that was closer to home. Mm-hmm. So they called me and I was kind of taken off guard. And then I went in for the interview and it all worked out. And I'm there now.
Great. Hey, Kat, just curious, the position that you have, like, was there somebody else in your position who left? Or was this like they were trying to establish the presence and were you the first person hired into your role?
I believe I was the first one hired into the role that I'm in because the team was very, it was structured differently. They kind of restructured it recently, but they were just kind of establishing their social team when I got there. So it was actually two younger girls that originally were on that team, and they hired someone to oversee them. And then I was kind of in between the younger girls and our senior manager.
Understood. Great. And so you've been at your job for what, like a year and a half?
Yep. A little over a year. So almost a year and a half.
Very nice. Okay. Let's move on to the next part of the interview. My first question for you is, these days, or let's say within the last year, what, if anything, has been your relationship with music?
Not too much, actually. In my current role, I'm not too involved in music like I was at Victoria's Secret. Mm-hmm. I do, you know, I have to, you know, listen to music when it comes in, if it's for an ad or something that we're running online. And, you know, I'm the person that always calls out, why isn't that on the downbeat? And then they have to fix it. But I don't do too much in music at the moment.
And just to be clear, I'm asking about your whole life, not just your job.
Yeah. And I haven't played much. I don't really play out much anymore. So
it's okay. There's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. Okay. Next question I have for you is, thinking about your current job and your Berklee experience, is there anything that, let's say, relative to going to some other school, you feel that your Berklee experience did particularly well to prepare you for what you're doing now?
I think that's a hard question. I would say it definitely prepared me to kind of think on the spot, which I don't know if you would get that in the same way somewhere else. And I'm thinking, you know, it teaches you to kind of think on the spot musically, and not the show must go on, but, you know, kind of that. You have to think on the spot and solve the problem right now when you're, you know, at a gig or something. So I feel like that is something that I took with me and I'm able to use at work and, you know, at other points, if that, hopefully that makes sense.
It does. Are you talking even, can I just narrow it down? Are you talking about literally like you're improvising in real time while playing your guitar, singing, or are you talking more about, let's say, solving problems with 3 minutes to go and, you know, the other band isn't here yet, what are you going to do?
Yeah, kind of both, actually, because I think it taught both of those lessons, but I think those translate into, you know, my current role now of, you know, we could be on set and I have to solve something in, you know, 2 minutes, or we're going to, you know, lose time, or something like that, where you have to kind of think on the spot. And I think I've trained my brain to do that, to think quickly and problem solve in that way, that I don't know that you get that everywhere.
Sure, sure. Very fair. That anything else you were going to add there, or didn't want to cut you off?
No. Think that prepared me pretty well. Also, I mean, some of the music business classes too, because of my role at Victoria's Secret, I would have to, you know, negotiate some contracts and stuff like that. And I got a lot of knowledge from, it was one of the legal classes I took. But that, I mean, it still helps me now. I always kind of look at things with a legal hat on of, are we able to do that? You know, are we legally, you know, are we going to be liable for something? So, I think those classes just really taught you how to be very cautious and look everything over. So
I don't suppose you recall who you took the class with.
Oh, it was, you know, I think his name was Jay something.
Jay Fialkoff?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Very cool. Just curious.
Yeah.
All right, nice. Well, hey, let's turn that previous question around now.
Okay.
Because you went to Berklee knowing that it gives that one degree, a bachelor's of music.
Mm-hmm.
But all that said, when you look back at your Berklee education, is there anything where you say, hey, it would have been really useful to have learned this when I was at Berklee, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't? Anything missing or incomplete in your education?
I actually love what you're doing, interviewing people. I think it would have been, and I know this is not necessarily, you know, knowledge, but kind of that encouragement of it's okay if you're not in the music industry and you could still use these tools for other jobs. I don't feel like I really got that there. So, you know, I had that moment of giving up where it wasn't really giving up. It was just taking a different path. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one thing that I wish was hammered home a little bit more of, it's okay if you choose a different path, like, you know, use your knowledge for other things.
Sure. Very fair. Okay, so next question I have for you is, I mean, it's funny, you, let's say you had that almost sidestep into nannying, and you were doing that hybrid career of some music, some other stuff, and then, as you say, your career took a real turn at that Victoria's Secret, and suddenly you were, like, on this path, and you found something you really enjoyed. Took you a few years, as I'm sure you can imagine. There are other people out there, more recent grads perhaps, who haven't yet found that path, as well as rest people in their last year at Berklee looking out into the big scary world and being like, oh my God, what happens next?
Right.
So for either or both of those groups, do you have any advice?
I would say to just not be afraid to try different things. Obviously, from what I've told you, I tried a couple different things. Mm-hmm. So I think you shouldn't be afraid, you know, if something's not in music, to try it out. You're not necessarily giving up. You're just trying out a different path. And I would also give advice of to be kind to everybody, because you honestly have no idea who you're going to cross paths with again. And I also got a lot of, you know, opportunities through friends and stuff. So I think you always kind of, you know, have to look out for people and pay it forward yourself, because that, you know, will return to you as well.
Sure. Great answer. And hey, let's zoom in a little bit, because you're going to be there under, you know, probably marketing, or maybe a marketing content manager. And, you know, I think you're my 93rd, maybe 94th interview.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And of which a fairly small fraction of those are in marketing. And, you know, so what I'm getting at here is almost no one's going to listen to all 94.
Right.
And the people who are listening to this are the ones who saw your field and clicked on your name. So for anybody who's, let's say, thinking about your field of marketing, or even, let's say, online social media marketing, and are like, hey, yeah, this sounds like really cool, how do I get in this? Do you have any specific advice for them?
I think the best way is to just start at an entry level, you know, position, kind of similar to what I did, and carve your path. You know, you have to find a hole. I've been told this before.
You're saying, like, you started at Victoria's Secret.
Right. And I was told actually by a boss there, find a hole within the company, something that you see a problem with, and solve it. You know, try to find a solution. And, you know, that's how you kind of get recognized and start to kind of move up in the company. But I would say, you know, if you can find an entry level position, just get your foot in the door. And then once your foot's in the door, you can kind of make a name for yourself and carve your path and, you know, make friends with leadership there and really, you know, be able to make a name for yourself.
Sure. That's great advice. Well, hey, I only have one last question for you.
Okay.
Which is, you have the mic and you're being recorded. So, is there anything else you'd like to say? Anything we missed?
No, I think you were great with your questions, and I think I really was able to answer everything for you. I can't think of anything else that I left out. I might when I hang up the phone, but I can't think of anything else that I left out. So
I guess that's what email's for. But
right. A little addendum to it. But yeah, I think you really covered it all.
Okay, great. Well, hey, Andrea, I really enjoyed this conversation.
It was great talking to you.
Yeah, so, hey, best of luck with everything in the near future.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
All right. Have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye.